We're in a preaching series looking at the miracles of Jesus. And we've done 2 weeks. This is the third week. And I really do believe that this is a challenging series for us. I want you to really have this question at the forefront of your mind, which is, do you have a desire to see miracles happen in your life and the life of those around you? Do you have faith for miracles? Jesus said in Mark 9 and verse 23, all things are possible for the one who believes. So far we've looked at the healing of the leper right at the beginning of Mark's gospel. And then last week Sam looked at the miracle in the storm, where Jesus calmed the storm when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Today we're going to look at a man of great faith. We're going to look at a centurion, a Gentile, who demonstrates great faith. We're going to see one of the only times in the whole of the Gospels where Jesus is surprised, not by a miracle, but by the faith of this Gentile, this non-Jewish man. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. We're going to read verse 5. To 13, it'll come up on the screen, Matthew 5, verse 5 to 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell you this one, go and he goes. I tell that one, come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. He said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Let me just give you a very brief overview of what we've just read, and then we're going to look at three things from this passage. So this centurion was an army captain. He was a man, he was in charge of 100 men. That's what a centurion was, someone in charge of 100 men. And we think he was Roman, but we know he definitely was a Gentile. He was not Jewish. And this centurion has a servant who is seriously ill. Luke with a parallel, Luke 7 has the parallel miracle, and in there it tells a little bit more about his condition, but basically this servant is crippled with diseases. He's in pain, he's paralyzed, he's in a really serious way. And this centurion says, you know, to Jesus, look, I want you to come and heal my servant. If only you'll come, Jesus, everything will be all right. It reminds me of Mary and Martha when Lazarus dies and they say to Jesus, if only you'd come, everything would be okay. This centurion, he has a certain degree of faith. He has a certain degree of understanding. He says, well, if only Jesus would come to my house, then my servant will be okay. And Jesus agrees to go. Jesus says, yes, I'll come and heal him in verse 7. Yes, I'll come. But then you have this incredible kind of growing faith. You have this incredible kind of like home run, knock out of the park faith statement that blows Jesus away. Because the centurion then goes a stage further. He says to Jesus, actually, hold on. You don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word, Jesus. You're at a distance from my house. Just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. No need to come. Just say the word. Wow. What faith. What growing faith. What tremendous faith. As Jesus said himself, you know, in all of Israel, I've not seen this faith. I've not seen this understanding of the power and the might of Jesus Christ. Wow. What faith. That's what we read in this passage. We see faith come to my house and heal my servant. But then it goes up a level. Wow, you don't need to come, Jesus. Just say the words. So I want to look at three things from this passage. Three things about faith, three things about Jesus Christ. The first one is this. Jesus is ready to act. Now the centurion was concerned for his servant. He was a good man. And he was concerned for one of his servants. He cared for him. He wanted him to be well. Now, you and I, we're concerned, I'm sure, for a great number of people in our lives. We can be concerned for those around us who aren't believers. We can be concerned for those who are ill, those who are suffering, those who are going through financial difficulties. We can be burdened and feel concerned for the people around us in our lives. And we think, I can't bear to see them suffer. If only, Lord, you could take their pain away. If only, Lord, they would become a Christian and understand the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a foundation that I want us all to grasp this morning, which is this. Jesus is willing. Jesus is ready to act. You see, we can get things wrong when we open our mouths. We can feel inadequate in the prayers that we pray. We can feel helpless when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. We sometimes don't know what to say. We sometimes don't know what to do in different situations that we find ourselves in. But we need to understand that the foundation block is that Jesus is willing. That Jesus is ready to act. And there's a few little things we can see that really help us in this passage. You see, even if our prayers are all over the place, it doesn't matter. Jesus is willing. In Luke chapter 7, the first part of that, verses 1 to 3 or 4, where we have this same story retold by Luke, in those first few verses, it's the Pharisees and the Jews who come to Jesus. And they ask Jesus that this centurion's servant would be healed. And they asked Jesus on the basis that this is a good man who paid for the building of the synagogue. What the Jewish teachers are doing is they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, Jesus, you should heal this man's servant because of his good works. You should heal this man's servant who is paralyzed because he's been very good to the Jewish people. He's paid for the synagogue. He's given, he's looked after, he's done good things. That's not the motives that Jesus works with. But you know what? Jesus says, I am willing. Jesus says, I am ready to act. Interestingly, the centurion has none of that. The centurion just says, I am not worthy. Jesus, will you come and heal my servant? You see, here's the thing I want you to grasp. Your motives can be mixed when you come and pray. Your motives can be skewed and your motives can be all in a jumble. You think, well, I've done good this week so I can pray and Jesus will ask. You think, well, I've been holy in this area. I've not done, you know, what the world tells me to do. So then I should expect a miracle. No, no, that's not what it's about. But you need to understand that Jesus is willing and Jesus is ready to act. So sometimes our prayers can be full of mixed motives. And then sometimes our prayers can change. But we need to know that Jesus is willing. Isn't it interesting that the centurion changed his request, but Jesus wasn't annoyed? You know, he wasn't upset. He wasn't annoyed. When the centurion first said, come to my house and heal the servant, Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. Then when he said, no, just to stay where you are and say the word, Jesus wasn't upset. Jesus wasn't annoyed. You know, it wasn't that, you know, he was thought to be disrespectful. Oh, you changed your mind. You changed your prayer. Jesus is willing. Jesus is ready to act. He wants to act. He wants to act. The struggle we have is that we don't often ask. Jesus is ready to act. If our prayers change, it's okay. He's ready to act. And then sometimes we might think, well, our prayers might get misinterpreted. But we need to know that Jesus is willing. You might read this passage and you might think, huh, this centurion, he's a bit too bold. How dare he compare himself to the Son of God? He talks about being a man under authority as a centurion and being able to command people under his command. And then he likens himself to Jesus. You might think, how dare he compare himself to Jesus? What impotence. How dare he do that? But you know what? Jesus admired his faith. He understood the meaning. He understood what the man was getting at. You know, people will not get bold faith. Other Christians will not get bold faith. Other Christians will misinterpret bold prayers. Prayers that Jesus would come and break into a situation. Other Christians will misinterpret it, but Jesus won't. Jesus is willing. Jesus is ready to act. This might seem such a simple point, but it's so important that your mind understands that when you come and pray, Jesus is willing and Jesus is ready to act. I really want your mind to have a shift, your mind to be kind of birthed and refreshed in this truth. That Jesus is willing and Jesus is ready to act. Let me tell you something that God has done in me over years. Is that when I come and pray, I don't come and pray thinking, oh, is God for me or against me? I don't come and pray thinking, how's my week been? Is Jesus willing? Is he willing? Is he going to answer me today or not? I don't do that anymore. Because God has just transformed my mind so that I know. Whatever day or week I may have had, when I close my eyes and when I say a prayer, I can say boldly, Jesus, I know that as I pray, I know that you are willing. I know that you are ready to act. And for me, pictures help me. Images, pictures help me. So I have these mental pictures of like Jesus on the front foot. He's like ready. He's like about to start a race. He's ready. He's ready to act. He's ready. He's ready to act. He's got his arms outstretched. He's ready. He's ready to act. That's the countenance of Jesus Christ. Not looking, going, checking our motives, checking what we prayed, checking how good a week we've had, checking whether he's going to answer, whether he's going to intervene, whether he's just going to leave us to it. No. Jesus is willing. Jesus is ready to act. I love that in this story, in this passage, where I see a willingness of the Savior. Come to my house. Jesus says, yeah, I'll come and heal him. No, don't have to come. Just say the word. Okay, I'll say the word. He is willing. He is willing. Second thing, Jesus has the ability then to act. You see, it's all very well if someone is willing, but then do they have the ability? Do they have the power? Do they have the authority to carry through their willingness? Jesus is perfectly able. I love verse 7. When the centurion first asks him to come to his house to heal his servant. I love his answer. He says, I will come and heal. I will come and heal. What words of majesty and power. It reminds me of Genesis chapter 1. When the Lord creates. And the Lord says, let there be light. And there was light. I love that as Jesus says, yes, I will heal. There will be healing. There's no delay. There's no deliberations. It will happen. You see, Jesus is not perplexed by complications. Jesus is not put off by difficulties of our illness or our situation. He's not put off by those things. This servant was seriously ill, but it wasn't a problem to Jesus. I'll come, he'll be healed. You know, whatever problem we are facing, whatever difficulty we are facing, we need to know that to Jesus Christ, it is not a problem. It is not an obstacle. It is nothing that is not too difficult for him. In Luke's account, again, in Luke's account, you get this sense of it really being an urgent situation, that this servant is dying. And that maybe Jesus should have come earlier. And if only someone had got hold of Jesus earlier to come and sort him out. But Jesus just says, yes, I will come and heal. And it's like everything is now sorted. It is done. And in Jesus' ministry, we see it. He heals the paralyzed. He raises the dead. He brings sight to the blind. He heals leprosy, the most difficult and challenging disease of all. He calms nature. God is saying, look, nothing is impossible. Jesus is able. But here's something really important. Here's something really important that I think a lot of us get hung up on. We may accept, we may even think we know the truth that Jesus is able. But we get hung up on the manner and the mode that Jesus is going to act. We get hung up. But the mode and the manner and the way in which the miracle comes about does not matter. It doesn't matter. That's why I love this passage. Because Jesus says, yes, I'll come and heal. When the centurion changes and says, no, no, you don't need to come, just say the word. Jesus says, fine, I'll just say the word. The miracle is not in doubt. It doesn't matter about the manner. It doesn't matter about how it comes about. Jesus is able. You know, when we think of people being saved, people coming to Christ, we must get into our heads that the manner that happens is up to Jesus. People will be saved in churches. People will be saved on street corners. People will be saved in a worship time. People will be saved reading a book. People will be saved walking down the streets. You know, the manner, the way in which it happens, it doesn't matter. But Jesus is able. You know, Saul, who became Paul, he wrote a third of the New Testament, who was this wonderful, godly guy. He didn't get saved at an altar. He didn't get saved in a church meeting. He got saved on the way to Damascus, on the way to killing a bunch of Christians. Jesus appeared to him and he was saved. He was saved. You see, the manner doesn't matter. The way in which it happens doesn't matter. We're to leave that to God. His ways are not our ways. We're not to get hung up on the manner or the formula or the way in which it happens. We're just to know that Jesus is able. Let me just give you a couple more examples of this. So I want to give you two extremes. So two of my personal heroes of the faith. One of them is a guy called C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. Another one is a guy called Nicky Cruz, who was the main character in The Cross and the Switchblade and is an amazing evangelist and man of God. But listen to their very brief testimonies about how they became Christians. You can read on these. But C.S. Lewis was an intellect. He worked and lived in Oxford. He used to have big conversations with J.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, about Christianity. And he used to debate and he used to read and he really, really struggled with whether he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then there's this wonderful line in his story about how he became a Christian, about a particular day when he was on the bus in Oxford. And all that he had read and all that he had discussed, everything, it came to this moment on this bus in Oxford, where the line that I always remember, it says this, it says to C.S. Lewis, he says, "Suddenly all became clear. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and a gentle peace and calmness filled my heart." On a bus in Oxford. Then you have Nicky Cruz, this gang member in the 1970s, out on the streets of New York. He would, with his knife, kind of go and stab people. He would be up there. He would lead this horrific gang, and he would be into all this violence and all this. And a skinny white preacher named David Wilkerson came up to him and shared the gospel. And the short of a long story is that he got on his knees in a church meeting. He came and he repented, and Jesus met with him and transformed him in an instant. And he became an evangelist and a preaching man of God who saw incredible things in New York and across the world. I just wanted to show you that these are two very, very different men who have very, very different stories about how Jesus saved them. But the manner in which it happened doesn't matter. What we are to know is that Jesus is able to save all people. You know, I remember in terms of healing, I can vividly remember at New Day, a worship event that some of you may have been to, a young people's worship event, a friend from the church that I was with getting healed in a worship event, in a tent, just worshiping, they were healed. It wasn't that someone prayed for them. It wasn't that, you know, they came to the front. Just worshiping, they were healed. And then I think of the prayer of a child. The church in Norwich that I was a part of when I was a student. A little child prayed for a girl who had serious ME. At the time, she was in a wheelchair. And, you know, she was healed. She was healed through the prayer of a child. Here's again my point. The manner, the way in which it happens, it doesn't matter. The truth is this, that Jesus is able. We get hung up on the manner. We get hung up on how it happens. We get hung up on trying to work out a formula. But the truth is that Jesus is able. You know, Jesus was never surprised when a miracle happened. When the storm was calmed, he wasn't surprised. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he wasn't surprised. When he healed the sick, he wasn't surprised. Why wasn't he surprised? Because he knew that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to Jesus Christ. So these things weren't a surprise. Because he knew the authority of God worked out in life, worked out in the sufferings of mankind, would bring healing and wholeness. Jesus is able. My question to you is, do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? Don't get hung up on how or the formula or how it might happen. Just be challenged. Jesus is able. Third thing, the final thing from this passage. Jesus responds to faith. Jesus is willing. Jesus is able, and he responds to faith. So your question, which is a right one and a good one, is, well, what does that look like? What does faith look like? What does the faith that Jesus responded to look like? Two things. The first, humility. The centurion says, right at the beginning when he meets Jesus in Matthew's version, he says, "Look, Lord, I'm not worthy. This is me. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that you should do anything for me. I'm not deserving that you should do anything for me." What the man is doing as he comes and prays and comes and brings his petition, he is saying, this is not about me. This is about Jesus Christ. What Jesus responds to is humility. Humility, that means that we decrease as Jesus increases. The thing about this is, the more that we decrease, the more room it leaves for Jesus to act. The more room it leaves for the miracle to take place. Jesus is able, but do you know what? Sometimes we get in the way. We think we know best. We think we know what to do. If we come with a humble heart and we say, I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy, Lord, but would you heal? I'm not worthy, Lord, but would you save? It gives a greater amount of room for the Lord to act. It means that we get out of the way and we leave it to Jesus Christ. That's humility. That's what Jesus responds to. It's a prayer of our hearts that says that we might see thousands come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's a prayer of our heart that we might see many, many come to know Jesus. But as we pray that prayer, we're saying, Lord, it's not about me. Lord, choose the way you do that. Lord, use anyone that you see fit to do that. It is not about me. The minute we puff ourselves up and say, Jesus, save 100 through me. Jesus says, I do this or that. Lord, save them through me. We get in the way. We get in the way. Faith that Jesus responds to is a prayer that is for God to move, but a prayer for God to move in which we are out of the way. Jesus responds to humble faith that is not about me. And then the second thing, and this is the thing above all that I think we can learn from this centurion. This is the thing above all that Jesus pinpoints and Jesus celebrates in this man. He understands authority. He understands authority. Let me just read verse 9 again. It says there, for I, the centurion, I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion had charge over 100 men. What he ordered them to do, they would do. You see, on a human level, the centurion got the authority of Jesus Christ. This centurion had been given authority by the emperor. And he then was working out that authority with the 100 men under his command. He understood authority on a human level. And he was close to grasping authority at a spiritual level. That when Jesus spoke the word, it would happen. If he truly was the Lord, if he truly was the Messiah, if he truly was the Son of God, then he was one with authority above all else. So of course, if the Son of God, if the Messiah spoke a word, of course it would happen. If Jesus spoke go, of course a person would go. If Jesus spoke healing, of course they would be healed. So his faith grew. He knew that Jesus did not have to be there at the bed touching his servant. He knew that if he just declared the word, his servant would be healed. If he just spoke the word, spoke the action, it would become a reality. This is the first recorded miracle where Jesus is not there in person with the person that he heals. There are others that come after that, but this is the first one. It makes the centurion's faith even more remarkable. It's not that he learned from another story. It's not that he learned from someone else. No, his understanding of the authority of Jesus was such that he grasped that if Jesus just spoke the word, it would become a reality. Just like he spoke the word and his men acted. So if Jesus spoke the word, the captives were freed. If Jesus spoke the word, then the man would be healed. Our issue, I believe, in 2018, our issue is that we don't believe enough in the authority of Jesus Christ and in God's word. We don't believe enough that this is the true authority. That this is the authority that this earth has to answer to. It has to answer to the authority of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus is the Lord above all. So we must take this on. We must be challenged by this in our faith, in our prayers, in our dealings with the principalities and spiritual world, that if we declare something based on the word of God, it will happen. We don't know the formula, the means, the way it might happen, but if we declare the authority of Jesus Christ and we declare the word of God, it will happen. Jesus was amazed at this man's faith. He didn't see any of this faith in all of Israel. What was this faith made up of? Humility. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And it was made up of understanding the authority of Jesus Christ. Believing that when the word was spoken, it would become a reality.